Well, once again, we begin with a word of prayer together. Our Father, we thank you for your safekeeping and for grace and for strength to learn many new truths. And we pray that these truths will become the mainstay in our life. We pray for your blessings as we learn how to apply all these things into our heart, into our life. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, well, let's take a look very carefully to just give you an overview of 1 Peter. That's going to be something that probably will help us. Okay? Now, whenever we think of salvation, for example, so I'm going to help you to just summarize things a little bit more. Right, so when we look at this idea of salvation, very often we think of it as, I believe, as a point of it all. Right? Can we speak of salvation as a point, or at this point I came to believe in the Lord? Answer, yes. But it is only a point. It's far better to understand salvation as a eternal plan of God. Now, this is important because if we don't see this in the right view, we're going to see salvation as a very static thing. I believe I can do whatever the rest with my life. That's a false concept of salvation. Right? So when we say I've come to the point of belief, it's actually the starting point. It is not the end point. Now, this is to be borne in mind. This is why we read 1 Peter. And all the salvation, all of the things come our way. And we didn't have time to answer this particular question about what is our inheritance. Well, first, before we go into even that, we have to think about all these things that we understand this salvation that God has given us, right? So when you look at these things here, I mean, it's just like a child that you bring into the world, you know, all the young parents are very concerned, and you have every right to be concerned. What is this child going to be like? And believe me, it's not a straightforward thing. Okay, you're born, now you succeed. No. A lot of times, we got to teach them how to survive. A lot of children are not taught survival skills. We are just taught how to enjoy. Right? How to enjoy it. Well, there are moments of enjoyment, yes. But if our children are not taught properly and they cannot survive in this difficult world, they won't survive. That's a reality. So we want them to have a soft life, cushioned life, protected life. You're going to find that when they get out into the wild, they can't survive. Right? And it's very important. So many, many years ago, decades now, there was a film about animals being trapped. It's called Born Free. How a lion can be, you know, you can look after the lion, you know, but when the lion is, they're going to release the lion into the wild, the lion will be killed. Why? It's been caged. And that's how we sometimes bring up our children. If you ever want to teach them what to do in a life, teach them how to survive. Right? Now, just because there isn't, I mean, a lot of times we miss the point. So whenever there are problems or hardship, anxiety, doubts, difficulties, they can't cope. They go into anxiety, they go into depression. You see, because you have not taught them how to survive. We think that everything must be done for them. Give to them, you know, whatever. Don't let them cry. Give to them. You are setting the child up for failure. Survival is going to be an important. You see, it's all part of your plan. So you need to know what's your plan. And a lot of parents have no plans for the children except to go and study very hard, one day get a good job, that's it. What on earth is that? Right? So you need to understand, the Lord teaches us that He has a plan. This plan is called salvation. Now, in every plan, there's always a key. Right? What is that key? And that's going to be important. And that key to that salvation plan is this called sanctification or holiness. Right? In order to teach this, we are teaching the children, this is right, this is wrong. Stay away from wrong. Do that which is right all the time. Right? This is important. This is part of the sanctification process. So you read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. It's all over the place. Right? Sanctify. Be holy as I'm holy. That's what perfecting holiness in Paul's language. The same principles are there. We learn to be dedicated to the Lord. We learn to live for the Lord. We look at the whole idea of sanctification. It is to make sure that the heart itself is filled with the Lord, filled with His Word, filled with His promises. Every single experience can be a sanctifying one. Every single word can sanctify us. Every moment in our life, what the Lord wants us to do is to see the heart become sanctified. If you don't, it will become unclean the next moment. And a lot of people don't know how to survive this. That's what I mean by survival. You got to watch out the things which are unclean. Otherwise, we are in trouble. Right? Now, it's something that we all need to look at very, very carefully. Right? So out there in the world, in hospitals, they have to sanitize the operating theater. Well, why? Because there are all kinds of things which are there. Sanitize. That's the word there that is used. It's another way of looking at sanctification, but an overall practice. Right? We've got to keep it as clean from bacteria, from sin, whatever it is in life that's going to hurt us. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, you name it. The sanctification process is along. Now, this is important. It's a process. It's not, okay, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm done. Now we're going back, seek baptism. See, that's a kind of mistake that we make again and again and again and come up with very weak Christians. Because all they are taught is believe in the Lord Jesus. We misread the text completely. We have to present salvation with reference to God's plan, and sanctification is key. And I'm just trying to summarize for you what we've been learning. Right? Now, there's always a point of it all. Where, okay, now I'm saying, what do I do with it? What's my purpose in life? What's it all about? And we call that service. Right? And so we serve as servants of God. We serve as priests. We serve in different capacities. We are gifted in different ways, and we serve. So here is a believer. Now he realizes, he appreciates, I'm saved, I'm sanctified. What do I want to do with my life? I serve. Right? Now this is absolutely important. A lot of times we don't understand how this actually works. So when we think in terms of what it means to have salvation, and we realize that, you know, God is saving me, yes, but here I am, I need to be sanctified. If I don't become sanctified, what can I do with my salvation by itself? Nothing much. And so many, same thing. And we don't know how to bring up our children. We don't know how to bring up our church properly. Right? The church is like a little baby church. What do? You train the child in the way he should go. But we don't. We just want to have a nice church. We just want to look big. We want to look nice. This is all shallow. It's all sham. It's not going to work. Well, this is what we want to look at. But the question is how to get people to serve in different capacities. right? It doesn't have to be in an official capacity. The point of it all, your heart is that of serving. This is something that I had a friend of mine who was a bank manager. It was called the Lake City Bank in a small little town called Widow on the Lake. And one day, it was winter time. I drove into the bank to draw up some money. And in those days, you don't have a lot of ATM cards. It's the old days, and that it was. And I was there, and I was in his office. We were talking, and he's a Christian. Then he told me, he said, "Charles, just give me a moment." I said, "Sure. You've got other customers to see." I mean, I understand that. So he got out from his desk, his own office, his own desk. All the rest are at the counters. And there he got out, and it was winter time. The door opened, and the postman came in. Right? And the postman came. It was snowing at that point of time. It was cold. And he went to the postman. Now, he was in his office. He went to the postman and helped him in, bring in all the things, not that, only a few letters, and gave him a cup of coffee. His name is called Eldis, bro. He's a friend, so I asked him, "El, what did you just do? Tell me, what did you just do? Here you are, a manager. Here you are looking at this bank here. And here you have a postman, and it's winter time, and he does this every single day, and you go and bring a cup of coffee to him. Why?" And he smiled and said, "Isn't it what it means to be a Christian? I serve. I may be a manager, but I serve. Always. During that winter time, there will always be a pot of coffee that he makes his staff sure, make sure that the coffee is there at any time, it's free, anybody can come in for a drink and get out of the cold for a while and go, even if they are not bank customers." And they say, "Wow." So once when I came back to Hong Kong Bank in Singapore, and I spoke to the manager, and I said, "This is what the person said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, that's true." He said, "Are you going to do it?" Of course, the person is a non-believer. So, will the person do it? Answer, no. They got no time. Right? To them, time is money. For him, it's service. Serve. Now, these are principles. Now, something that we want to think about very, very carefully. How do we understand this? Now, an important principle, and this is a principle that I want you to learn very, very carefully, because in the midst of all these things here, because this is God's plan, but it's a human life, there is a structure here that you need to understand. And that principle that we are talking about over here is a principle called submission. Now, the word submission is all over the place. No question about it. The question is, how do we understand this submission? And is there is a very real thing. Right? So we look at chapter 2. And so we talk about this idea of being submissive over here. And this is absolutely important for us to understand. And this beginning from verse 13, okay? Submit yourself, the principle of submission applied to government. Principle of submission applied to masters. Principle of submission, husband and wife together. Right? And now we come to another part of it, and that is where we are told in chapter 5, for example. Okay? Likewise, younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Now, this is where the real challenge is. Right? See, a lot of people don't know how to practice this principle of submission. One, government. Two, masters. Three, family. Four, over here, to the elders, meaning the pastors. Unfortunately, the reality is that a lot of people will not practice submission, do not practice submission. They don't like to. I know as much as you do. Hey, I understand as much as you can, as you have. So, they don't know how to practice submission. Watch what happens when children do not know how to practice submission. Watch what happens when young people don't practice submission. First, they go against the Lord's word. What will happen? They go astray because they don't want to listen to anybody. They're convinced I'm doing my own thing. I'm doing the right thing. You know, here I am. And I want. But what is the word of the Lord here? Practice submission. What do you think is fun to just look after people? There's a lot of responsibility involved. It's something that we need to look at very carefully. We have right now overseas brethren listening to the messages as well. And they one wrote to say, Pastor, it is so hard to practice submission to government. You know, deep down, the struggle is so difficult. How do I submit to brutal governments? How do I do all of these things? It's a challenge. And yet, here is the word. Practice submission. Right? And when you become adults, it's even harder to practice submission. Once you don't understand the principle is there, before I listen to you. Right? So you have one submission to the elders who are there. Right? To the pastor. But do the pastors practice submission too? Yes. You have to. What if you don't? Do your own thing. Do whatever you like, as you like. If you like, whatever you like. How does that work? And the answer is, it doesn't. We will only bring harm to ourselves. Right? You will not grow as properly because here is somebody watching you, guiding you, helping you, and you say no. You know how with children are? When they are very young, no, I can do it myself. 2 years old. I can do it. Even cannot, also will try. Right? So sometimes I see the little children, so they say, I don't want ice cream today. Can I have some chocolates instead? I say, okay. Now, here's a little bottle that is inside the thing. Right? And the person struggles very hard with it, cannot open. Hey, I'm here to help you. Then after a while, cannot put it away. Yeah. Why can't you just ask for help? I will not help. As you ask, I will help. You don't ask, I won't help. Then you, Pastor, very hard. Oh, well, I'm here. I'm standing right here watching you open something you cannot open. Why don't you just humble yourself? There we go. Humble yourself. Ask, can you help me? That's it. And I'll be happy to open it for you. Right? Or sometimes it's very, very short. And here is a little box that contains all the ice cream. You cannot lean over. Poor chap. You know, so small. You cannot lean over. And they sort of climb over. I'm half afraid they will fall into the ice cream bin. You don't want to ask? Fine. I watch it and say, and then they turn around. What do I do? What's inside? They can't see. And they can't reach you or try to pull it. And they can't reach it. So what do? Ask for help. This is all part. Submission is simply asking for help. Right? I mean, if I don't understand the text, okay, here, let's look at a text that we may not understand. But let's look at chapter 3, for example, this part of it. Okay? And we read very carefully verse 14 down and then to verse 15, by whom he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Yeah, right? Who formerly were disobedient and the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. And then, this is what it is. And so many people think that the Lord Jesus, when he died, he went to hell. Right? When did he say that? Right? So we read, by whom he went and preached to the spirits in prison. So here we go. Everybody, the prison is hell. I'm going to tell you, hey, sorry you are here. What kind of gospel preaching is that? Absolute nonsense. Now, let's say you read a text like that, you don't know how to understand it. What is the best thing to do? Ask for help. Look for wisdom. You cannot handle the text by yourself. Ask for help. That's how we understand. That's what shepherds are for, right? And so the next word that we're looking at is the word shepherd. But submission is a principle that is there. So what does it mean when we read this text here in chapter 3, right? For Christ suffered once for the just, just for the unjust, okay? And then by whom, who dwell in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Right. Now, a lot of people don't understand. First, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, did not take place from Matthew 1, from Mark 1, Luke 1, John 1. That is a special manifestation of the Lord Jesus. Right? That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and we can see more clearly. But was the Spirit of God already ministering? Yes. You read Genesis 1, and the Spirit hovered over the face of the earth. He was there. Right? So when you look at what it means for Noah to speak to the people there, and they rejected him, what lies behind Noah? It would be the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Christ. Right? And so they were actually already, because they had rejected, they will not submit to God. They are already in prison. They are imprisoned in their bodies. And they'll be imprisoned in their sin forever. So did the Lord Jesus, in that sense, preach to those who were in the days of Noah? Yes. That's it. Oh, then you say, oh, that's so clear. Of course. That's what it is. Right? So all we need is to look at the text very carefully, understand it. That is the work of shepherding. The shepherd knows how to feed. The shepherd must know how to feed the little ones, the older ones, and so on and so forth, including the senior ones. This is the work of a shepherd. Right? Now, it takes a lot of time and energy and effort to learn these skills. That's what the pastors are supposed to do. They are to keep learning. And you must never think that I am already a very senior pastor, I'm a very old pastor, there's nothing else to learn. And the answer is, you're wrong. There are many things yet to learn. Right? So there are lots of things, the pastor and the shepherding work. So we begin with Bethany. Then we expanded it over to, this is all part of shepherding work. Except that now I am an overseeing shepherd work. I have to oversee. What do I hope that they will do? That they will learn submission. You cannot, oh, I want to write, I write. If I don't want to write, I don't want to write. And you've already failed to submit. You have no choice when you are pastors to make reports. You have no choice. You have to let me know. That's very obvious. And when we don't know, we don't ask, we don't report, we think we are by ourselves alone. Go ahead, try. Go ahead, cut up. And we will see a dismantling of all those things. Because we are not guided. We are not taught properly. And we often think, I know. You don't. When you are starting a young church, what do you know? What are the things you don't know? If you don't ask, neither will you know. This is submission. The principle of submission must be learned first, including pastors. Right? And if you could have learned so much if you had asked. But since you do not ask, you do not have. That's what James tells us. You do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask wrong things. So you still don't have. There we go. That's the learning. So these are key concepts. From salvation to sanctification to service. And the Lord's service, there are, in the priesthood, there are people who are supervisors. In the priesthood, there are people who are seniors. Right? We call them shepherds. And they look after the younger ones coming up. They train them. The priest cannot say, well, I feel like doing this. It's not about your feeling. This is God's work, not your work. This is God's church, not your church. We either learn to fit in or we don't. See, these are biblical principles, and we don't know how to fit in, we're sunk. Right? Now, this is something that we need to understand, the whole principle of submission, and it applies to all of us at any time, if only we will understand. But we always like to do our own thing, and we just want pastoral approval and endorsement. I'm one of those who will not do that. Right? We have to do it biblically, and that's how it works. And so we look for shepherds. What kind of shepherds? And this is important. And so chapter 5, we look at it. So Peter talks about himself as a fellow elder and a witness. The idea of being an elder, firstly, is an older person. No question about that. Right? But he's an elder because this is now his status. He had become an outstanding apostle. He had a lot of experience behind him. He's picked up a lot of knowledge and wisdom along the way. So he has the title elder was now given to such people. Right? Now that's what we are looking at. And this is important. And so he writes it. So what must a person be like? Okay? Now, of course, we are to shepherd the flock of God among you, serving as overseers. Now that is my work. Right? But people don't like to see overseer or criticize, this is not so good, this could have done better, you're not very spiritual, you're this, you're that, whatever. I'm still the overseer. And the principle of submission has to be understood and to be practiced. It's all part of God's plan of salvation. Now think about these things here. Okay, if South India, if you do not have this support and guidance, would you even survive? Think about this. And why is it we don't want to practice submission? The heart is not sanctified. And when the heart is not sanctified, we do our own thing. We do whatever is right in our own eyes. Then we've gone back to the days of the judges. That's the dark period of Israel's history. We do it the Lord's word this way. And this is very, very important for us to understand and appreciate, right? So always go back to the question of, I'm using this essence to understand, the salvation part of it. Okay, and the word of sanctification that goes, what it means to have the Lord sanctified in our heart. All right, then we talk about what it means for us to be saved, to serve the Lord. All right, so then we look at this principle of submission. Okay, and look at the work that the Lord has given to them of us who are shepherds. Please, you may serve the Lord. But the work of shepherding is not as straightforward as you think. Right? That's very important. So if you are looking after the AVA, I'm the shepherd of the AVA machines. There's no such thing. Right? I hope you understand. This shepherding work has been up. And the only way to understand is that they're all interrelated. So we go back to, now, I'm saved. Do I understand what it means? Right? So many aspects of it all. And then here comes this whole idea. Am I being sanctified? What if I'm saved but I'm not sanctified? What if I'm one, two, but I don't want to serve? What if I want to serve, I want to do it my way? We always go off the scriptures. That's what I mean by heart going astray all the time. That's the danger of it all. You can't. Right? I mean, this is something that we need to learn. Unfortunately, as I said, one of the hardest things to do. Have you heard of this phrase? Right? I mean, seriously, herding the cats. Have you heard the phrase? Do you know how to herd cats? Can it be done? Okay, cats, let's go together. Cats will go in different directions. No cat will worth his name will ever just shepherd me. It won't work. Right? Dogs, you can. Okay, let's go as it can. Right? Now, this is something that we want to look at, and this is important for us, but not cats. Unfortunately, when we come to some of us, we just don't know how to submit. We think we know so much. I know so much. I don't need to submit to anybody. I can do it myself. Yeah? Tell me, what have you done? Tell me. Give me the history of what you have done. Tell me. What have you actually done? What have you actually achieved? And yet we are filled with our own thoughts. See, we'll go back all the way to sanctification because you're not sanctified. You don't understand it. That's why you think this way. If you really understand these two principles, salvation and sanctification, it is the problem of sanctification, not salvation, that is makes people, that hurts people a lot because we are not sanctified. We don't understand it. Right? So we have example after example of how it all works before we can talk about service. The problem is people talk from salvation to service. Where is sanctification? It's missing. And when people jump from salvation to service, they miss the point. Do you honestly think that God just wants, okay, I'll send you out? The Lord Jesus called people first to follow him. For 3 years in all the gospel, what did the apostles actually do? They were called apostles, but what did they actually do? Okay, organize, sit here, all right? I'm going to give you some bread and fish. Okay, after that, collect the fragments. That's it. What else do they do? They learn. They learn. Along the way, they are sanctified. Along the way, their hearts, their minds, everything about them becomes sanctified before they go out and serve. But very often we think, I'm saved, I know so much, I can serve. I want to do it my way, do it this way, that way. Have you ever thought what it means to organize the entire Bethany family and all over the countries? You know how to do that? You really know how to do that? A lot of people don't understand that this is what it means at the end of it all. There is so much to look after. This is shepherding work in chapter 5. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And once we understand how it is, then we begin to appreciate how it works. Right? Rather than to do whatever it is, everybody doing what is right in his own eyes, then it becomes a very obvious, there will be all kinds of problems coming up. But these are principles that we all can learn. The question is whether we will practice all of these things. So I need to go back to my salvation all over again. And you say, okay, I believe in the Lord, I have faith in the Lord, I have a living hope. Great. We're happy for you. But next, can I jump to serve? Can I serve the Lord now? No, you can't. I mean, this is important. Right? So you have Dr. Jane there as a surgeon. After passing MBBS, can I be a surgeon now? Of course not. You got to be further trained. And trained again and again and again and again. Practice. It's not a matter of, I've also got MBBS. Right? Of course, the only one that do MBBS surgery is in Myanmar. I had a friend of mine and he said, Monday, I see people with stomach problems. And Tuesday, I perform eye surgery. Wednesday, I help people to give birth. I become a gynae. And on Thursday, I see people with mental problems. They say, what kind of qualification do you have? MBBS. Because there's nobody else to help them. And see, they're quite good, you know. Don't worry about the teachers. I'm not very good teachers, but hey, your life, that's all there is to it. Right? And always ask, what's the cause of death? He died. You know, he stopped breathing. That's it. What's the cause? Stop breathing. Don't pursue that line of thought. But think about it. What it actually means to be there, that is what we are. And a lot of people, Christians, we jump from salvation to service and we miss out. This is the theme of the whole camp, sanctification. And when we miss out such a major part of it, how are we going to serve properly? And sanctification is an everyday thing. Right? What do? I mean, just like we talk about Sunday, being cleansing. Every day you have to bathe. So some of the people in the early morning, they come and drip me, and you know, they're dripping with sweat and all that. Do I want to give you a hug? No. I say, hi, that's it. And stay away from me. Right? Now, maybe we'll go back and change and wash and all that. Maybe. But when you are dripping all over, never. Right? Obviously, I just had a bath and thank you. Keep yourself to yourself. That's it. Come on, we all understand sanctification. Right? That's important for us. Right? And we're glad that the food all covered. Because there are many uninvited guests. And they come with wings. And they help themselves uninvited. And it's dangerous. And we all know this. What it means to be sanctified. It means to be kept that way. It's not just to start that way. It's got to be kept that way. So then they have got this special 1001 island stuff here. And that's what it is. And I'm just wondering why I haven't lost any weight yet. Although I don't eat a whole lot. I think it's the 1001 island, the thing that is there. It must be, because I try to look at myself, why am I not slimmer? That's the only reason, because I don't eat all the other things. Right? You see the whole point of it all? I'm trying to, as it were, sanctify the body too, you know, make sure that things don't bulge. Well, there are lots of things which are just bulging with a lot of these things here, and you try to do whatever you can to stay strong and stay fit and all the way through. I mean, we all have to practice something like that. And it's an everyday thing. Right? It's something that we need to practice again in order to keep strong, in order to keep fit. That is sanctification work. It doesn't stop at camp. After the camp is over, now I am more sanctified. That's not how it works. So the whole process of it all has to be understood very carefully, and this is how it works. Now, just to give you a quick idea as to why it hasn't stopped. We've only looked at the first part of it. So let me very quickly turn to chapter 5 with you. And this is where we want to look at verse 8. Okay? Now, this is how we want to approach this thing here. Right, so we talk about these things here. Now, what is our greatest, or who is our greatest enemy? Right? Now, I wish that it is just simply the matter of the world. I just wish that it is just a matter of solving problems and difficulties. What if your answer is not? What if your greatest enemy is Satan? What defense do you have? Seriously, what defense do you have against the attack of the evil one? Chapter 5 and verse 8, we read, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about. He walks around. Is he walking here? Yes. Is he walking in your home ground? Yes. Is he walking in the office area? Yes. Is he walking in the world? Yes. What is your defense? This is God's defense for us. Salvation, sanctification, serving him. Look at these things here. Right? Practicing submission. These are all God's ways of helping us to become the church, the priesthood that we ought to become. You miss any single step of it all, and the evil one, as a roaring lion, will devour you. Right? Think about what it means. Watch this very carefully. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom is he going to seek? The not alert will be prey. The weak will be prey. Those who don't understand that the evil one is there will be prey. And you are going to lose out. It's not your smartness that will save you. It's not your intelligence that will help you. You cannot at all resist the evil one by yourself in your strength. There is no way we can win this battle. Try, imagine fight a lion. How? How are you going to fight a lion? What strength do you have? The very look at the lion makes you really concerned. So if I were to go to the zoo, you know, and look at it, lion, and I'm going to stay as far away as I can. Right? They look very tame. They look very sleepy. Those night safaris, half the time the lion is sleeping. Right? So they think look like very safe. They're not. Right? Even so-called tame lions. That's why one day, the Las Vegas circus closed. They had this famous act where this man put his head into the lion's mouth. I've seen those things. And he said, wow, that was hailed as tremendous. And the lion listens to him, and he pets the lion, he talks to the lion, makes the lion jump through the hoop, and the fire, and things like that. And one day, he will say, the lion lives in my house, no problem. It's just a pet, and I can even lie down on the lion. Lion will be all right. But one fine day, the lion suddenly turned inside and mauled him and was severely, really damaged and hurt, injured. And he had this relationship with the lion for years. He sees a lion as a friend, as a pet, as tame, and the lion is good, the lion is obedient. He forgets it is a lion. This is a roaring lion. You think that he's going to be nice to you, he gives me the world's things and all that. Remember, he is going to kill you at any time. And so you see a lot of Christians, budding Christians, die, hurt, injured. And you have no defense against him. See, what's God's defense for us? Look at the system. There's a salvation part of it. The important part is the sanctification part of it before we talk about service. Everybody wants to talk about service. Why don't you ask me about sanctification before service? We often feel we're ready. I know. How much do you really know? Right? So this is where the real challenge is. Now let's go on further to talk about this here. Okay? How do we resist him? And watch this very carefully. You need to understand how this actually works. Steadfast in the faith. That's the kind of faith we need to have. Right? You have faith, yes, but is it a steadfast faith? Right? So if you, well, I'm very stirred up to read the Lord's word, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, and then the month after you're flat, it's not steadfast. You want to know what steadfast is? Only time will tell. really, really tempted. I have a new young batch of young disciples, and they're very attached to me. And I watch out for them. And those who are not able to be with us still keep in touch overseas, and they say we are following the messages. Well, I'm glad for that. I'm really, really glad for that thing here. But too early to tell if they are steadfast. Are the young people steadfast? Not yet. They have not been tested. You don't know what they will be like. You don't know how, what things will happen. You have no idea. They are untried. So are they steadfast? Not yet. So a person is a pastor for a few years. Is he steadfast? No. After 10 years of ministry, is he steadfast? No. When do you get be steadfast? If you have never resisted the evil one, you never know how to fight him in any way, you're not steadfast. And it is important. How do I become steadfast? The process all over again, salvation, sanctification, service, submission, all of these things here, all these things are designed to help us to become steadfast. And if we skip here and skip there all over the place, you're not going to be steadfast. And so you become victim to the evil one. Right? The mind strays, the heart misses details here and there. And some days we feel like serving, some days we don't feel like it. Some days we are full of joy, some other days we are not. I want to watch out for these young people. Right? If they are keen, if they are interested, I want to be there with them. I want to help them to grow as much. But are they steadfast yet? No. Serving itself does not tell you you are steadfast. You've seen people who serve, and after a while, they're gone. Why? They're not steadfast. Now, this is important for us to understand, because God's plan is for us to succeed. But how? That is a question. And it's something that we all need to understand how that works. Now, very quickly before you go, then we come back to Rachel. Okay? Now, this is very important for us to understand. Okay? Now, you have to appreciate this. Resist him steadfast in the faith. And then we talk about the word again. The same sufferings experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Suffering is part of God's plan too. Right? And a lot of people cannot accept this. But this suffering is a part of God's plan in more ways than one. It's to not to make it more difficult for you. It's part of the whole plan to make you strong and steadfast. Right? And it's very important. In the early days, in the Greek days, when they looked for soldiers to fight. Right? They're trained from a very young age. And then one of the tests they have to pass is to be able to hold the ground, put a shield on the ground, just big shields there, and then they will send a people who will charge them. If they topple out, you're not steadfast. You got to resist the big guy, and you're strong enough to hold back, to repel the charge. If you can't even pass that, you will never be able to go to war and fight in any way courageously. The training is brutal. There's no other way. Suffering has to be a part of it. But ours is just softly, easily, and things like that. That's a big problem. Right, so when I have a watch that it helps me to keep how many km, how many steps I take, and every day I look at it, how many steps do I actually take? Usually camp time within 14,000 to 16,000, and then measure what kind of thing it is, and it says easy. So my kind of exercise is unfortunately classified as easy. Ouch. And I thought I was doing so well. But when a machine tells you what it is, it's brutal facts. All right? But I have to accept that. Fine. I cannot tell you. You know how old I am or not. The machine doesn't care. It can only tell you what it is. And so I look at it. It doesn't know how to spell. You can blame it. You can shift the thing here. But the reality of it all, we don't have it. Now, this is important. One before you go, just one last verse. And watch this, we'll come back to it again. Okay? Now, this is important for what we are looking at, that we are to wait. First, okay? Now, we are talking in verse 10 now. Who called you, call us to widow, after you have suffered a while. See? Suffering. Perfect. Establish. Strengthen. Settle you. Guess where perfection comes in? Only the first out of four. And we think perfection is very hard. It's only the first step. There are three more to go. Perfect. Now watch this very carefully. So there'll be the perfection part of it is there. Establish. Three, strengthen. Four, settle. Now, most of us are not settled yet. In fact, very few of us are actually established. Right? Think about this. Well, lots of things. So this makes us want to learn further. So take a short break and then we'll come back and work at it further. Well, let's pray together. Now, Father, we thank you for the challenge to read your word honestly. Help us to realize how much we can benefit through the reading of the scriptures correctly. Help us to understand the scriptures in the greater depth. Help us to see this plan of your salvation given to us so that we can understand and appreciate all the things which have been designed for us to help us to become steadfast. We pray that you will teach us how to walk in this path that leads to true spiritual success. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, you can take a break and then I'll see you in half an hour's time.